Tetzaveh is a parsha of absence. While Moshe has been a constant presence since the beginning of Shemot, in Tetzaveh, Moshe's name is not mentioned a single time. The Baal HaTurim tells us that this is deliberate. You shall command B'nai Yisrael. This is the only parsha in the Torah since Moshe first appears in which he is not mentioned. This is in fulfillment of the curse that he proclaimed against himself, and if not, blot me out from your book. Although this curse was conditional upon God's refusal to forgive the people for the sin of the calf, the curse of a scholar is fulfilled in some way, even when made conditionally. The Baal HaTurim, explaining Moshe's name's absence from the Parsha, points to Moshe's conversation with God in the Parsha that will follow this one, when he will threaten to destroy the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf. There, Moshe will give God an ultimatum. Moshe went back to Hashem and said, "Alas, this people is guilty of a great sin in making for themselves a god of gold. Now, if you will forgive their sin, well and good, but if not, erase me from the record which you have written." Moshe's ultimatum is a statement of values. If you do this thing, if you destroy the people I love, remove my name from your Torah, because I want no part of it. God relents, but according to the Baal HaTurim, the mark of Moshe's protest remains in this prior parsha that actually precedes their sin. The Baal HaTurim's answer, however, leaves us with another question. Even if Moshe's name must be absent from one parsha as a result of his ultimatum, why did God choose Tetzaveh to be the parsha of absence? Tetzaveh is a counterintuitive choice in that it comes before Moshe's ultimatum. We might have expected the parsha chosen to be one that immediately follows the ultimatum in order to show that it is a consequence of Moshe's words. Why instead remove Moshe's name from this parsha, the parsha before the sin of the golden calf, and the ultimatum that follows? Perhaps, in some way, the Torah is teaching us not to make the mistake our ancestors made when they realized Moshe's absence. When the people saw that Moshe was so long in coming down from the mountain, the people gathered against Aharon and said to him, "Come, make for us a God who will go before us. For that fellow Moshe, the man who brought us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him." The sin of the Chet HaEgel, the golden calf, the sin in the wake of which Moshe will issue his ultimatum, is born from the people's inability to cope with Moshe's absence. Panicked, they immediately assume that Moshe's absence means that they have been abandoned and look for a replacement. In giving us a parsha without Moshe's name immediately before Kitisa, the parsha in which we read about the sin of the golden calf, the Torah allows us to enter into our ancestors' experience. We read this parsha and notice that Moshe is missing, just as they experienced Moshe's absence. This time, however, the absence is different, and the difference lies in what the Baal HaTurim tells us, that Moshe's absence is not a sign of abandonment, but of love. Moshe's name is missing precisely because he loves us and is willing to fight God for us. In Moshe's absence, we find, stronger than ever, Moshe's love. Maybe the Torah is teaching us what our ancestors, waiting at the foot of Sinai, did not understand. Yes, Moshe will be late coming down the mountain. Yes, you will worry, and yes, you will miss him, and you will be scared. And even when he comes down, you will live with dread, because you know that one day he will once again ascend a mountain, and this time he will never come down. But remember that absence is not emptiness. Understand when you read this parsha that even though he is not mentioned, Moshe is more present here than ever before. Know that he is there in the spaces between the words, remembering you, fighting for you, daring for you. Remember that even in his absence he is there, loving you beyond what the words of the Torah can express. Remember most of all that even when you do not see him, even on the days when his name is not on the page or on your lips, you carry him always in your heart.